Hello. You are listening to Third Waves.
Third is a platform that amplifies underrepresented voices through print, events, and on the airwaves.
You're joined by me, Tribe, DJ, and radio hosts.
Me, Daniela, writer, musician, and producer.
And myself, Rona, stylist, founder, and editor-in-chief of Third. This is all my half East Asian BFFs. Welcome back. If you're tuning in for the first time, we recommend checking out the other episodes too, but you can also just dive in here with us. On this episode, Zach, Nigel, Joe, and Daniela talk about their dating history and sexual attraction.
Welcome back to my half East Asian BFFs, and welcome to my half East Asian BFFs. I am Daniela. I'm half Danish, half Chinese, and I am a producer of Third Waves.
Hello, my name is Joe. I am half Chinese, Malay, and half Scottish. My pronouns are they, them. I am a junior editor and editorial assistant at Third, as well as a lot of other random things. I do art modeling, I do circus performance, contortion, aerial hoop, whatever you want me to be, I can be it.
Oh yeah, and my pronouns are she, her, they. Zach, welcome back.
Hello, I'm Zach. I'm half Thai, half English, 30 years old. My pronouns are he, him, and I am a lawyer by day. I moonlight as a lawyer by day.
Moonlight as a lawyer by day.
But by night, who knows?
I'm Nigel, I'm 49, I'm a climbing instructor, and I'm Hong Kong Chinese English by birth.
Amazing. Let's do a fun question. So what should we do today? Let's do, what TV or story character best represents you?
Diane Nguyen from BoJack Horseman. She's half Asian and she's a writer.
And very tortured.
Yeah, very tortured. I think I was actually a bit more like her in my youth because I'm old now. But yeah, she is the closest, I think. What about you guys?
I've never come across a half Thai, half English gay man in anything I've ever watched or read. So I don't identify with anyone. But actually, when I was a kid at primary school, we always used to play Harry Potter, me and my two best friends. And one of my best friends was full Korean and my other best friend was full white English. And the full white English girl was Ginger, so she used to play Ron. And then the full Korean girl used to play Hermione. And then because I was half Asian, half English, we used to joke that being Asian was the muggle blood and being white was the wizard blood because I was Harry Potter. So I was a half blood.
In it.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, no. That was kind of complex for a childhood.
Yeah, it's true actually, which means I was very aware of race at
This
was like year four.
Very aware.
For me, a sci-fi fan, so Next Generation, Worf. Quite stoic, but intense when roused, so I guess.
Roused or aroused?
We're not talking about sex here, aren't
we? Topical. Topical. I think my one is like more of like an aspirational character. I actually did one of these already and I use a very different character. But like another one, and this is not me being arrogant, but like the Monkey King from Journey to the West is definitely like a character that I like aspire to be. And also Monkey King's surname is actually Sun, so we have the same surname. So
oh,
technically
fucking God.
Same family. But yeah, just like the shape-shifting, loyal, strong sense of morality, extremely violent. Like this is just what I aspire to be, you know?
Dream it, be it, girl. I support you all the way.
Amazing. So what we're here to talk about now is sexual attraction and dating history and how much your half East Asian, half white mixture plays into that, interacts with that, plays into your fantasies. No, well, we don't have to go into too much. Like, we can talk about anything you want. But yeah, it's definitely a topic that I find
quite interesting because I think I left China when I was 13 and I definitely had crushes when I was up until that age, obviously, but wasn't really properly into like boyfriend or girlfriend territory. Like definitely like girlfriend would have been very tricky in where I grew up. So then like my subsequent romantic and sexual partners, I've never dated or slept with, well, I think anyway, anyone who's like Asian or half Asian. And it's something that I definitely like, I definitely think of as something that I would like to experience just because, you know, one of the things that I talked about, like about us being together is like the ease and like there are things that we just don't need to, I don't know. I just feel like it could be quite interesting dynamic to share that part of my, heritage with someone and like have that interact in a sexual or romantic or domestic situation is something that I just kind of like think about.
Yeah, I've also never dated or slept with anyone who's Asian or half Asian or any type of Asian, as far as I know.
As far as I know.
as far as a disclaimer. but I would say that it can influence beyond just that. Like you can find like common ground outside of just someone being Asian. My ex-boyfriend was half Jamaican and half English. And I think the main thing that we mutually understood there was kind of like the experience of fetishization. I'm non-binary, but
fetishization.
I'm non-binary, but I'm very much read as like an Asian girl. And Asian women are very fetishized in porn and also just in general. The idea of that being Asian somehow feminizes you. Therefore, that is something that is fetishized, and the idea that being black is something that masculinizes you, and so therefore, black men are fetishized. So it was like that idea that we both understood what it was like to be like reduced to race in a very like sexualized context, and that was very. It was therefore very easy and flowing when we spoke about like matters of race. But never anyone Asian, and yeah, but I don't really have the older I get, the more I realize that I don't really have a type, like racially or otherwise.
Yeah. That fetishization of Asian women, is quite an interesting one. I think because I am more white passing than Asian looking, well, it depends who you speak to. I get more the kind of like mixed race fetishization especially in China or like among Asian people, that's seen as like very exotic.
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually never separated like mixed race fetishization from just full like Asian fetishization, but no, you're right, there is like an element of that too.
Is being mixed race fetishized in China?
I think because the most exposure I had to that type of attention was when I was very young, and so it wasn't sexualized, but I could from that age feel that there was a sense of like, you know, I think the word fetishization doesn't have to be exclusive to like a sexual context, right? Yeah. So I'm saying that, but I think had I gone through puberty and like proper sexual awakening in China within like, I feel like that would have carried on and then like taken on that like explicit sexual aspect to it.
Yeah, because it was the same in Thailand. I think there was a period when I was young and when my brothers are young where being mixed race, like half white, half Thai, was a real, like, everyone loved it. Apparently when we were kids, people used to like take me out of my buggy in the supermarket and just hand me around strangers. Like people
definitely.
Were, yeah, it was so novel and I suppose fetishized in a way. How do you say that?
We'll be able to say this word by the end of this episode.
Fetishized, okay, sorry. Fetishized in a way. And actually it would be interesting to grow up in China and have my, like, to sexualize, sorry, not China.
Sexualize.
Can I start again? All right.
Where are you from, Zach? Can you?
I'm half Chinese rather than half Thai, but we'll get into that at some other point.
I mean, Reese already put us in on that, but
lovely,
yeah.
Lovely, there you go. You got the story. No, it would have been interesting to sexualize in Thailand because a lot of like the models and people used in adverts, etc., and like movie stars were mixed race. And there was I think it's still a thing to this day, but it was definitely a thing back then. Like, so for example, my parents' friends' kids who are mixed race, they were both models. They were like in adverts all the time. They've been in TV shows and stuff, and like they were just automatically seen as good looking by virtue of being mixed race. And so to have grown up in a culture where I would have automatically been seen as good looking and was kind of would have been like the model of attraction just by virtue of being mixed race, like disregard my physical characteristics, like it would have been something that worked in my favor, when actually I grew up in a culture where if anything it works against you. Like you don't see mixed Asian white people on TV in adverts. Like it's not very common. Like it's becoming more common as time moves on. We realize that we need to stop, like, you know, well, that there is beauty other than white beauty. But yeah, I think it would have been fascinating to see that, like that contrast.
Yeah, it's more my experience. I was a late bloomer, so I didn't really have any sexual integration with anyone until my late teens. And all of my experiences as I was raised white have been white. I haven't had any Asian or black or any other ethnicity in that kind of context. So yeah, I found it being Asian kind of isolated me in regards to sex. And that kind of forming those kind of relationships.
It's interesting when you talk about growing up in a place that would have considered you automatically attractive, because I remember like growing up almost like the shift between when mixed race wasn't considered good looking and then when kind of mixed race characteristics suddenly became really like on trend basically. And everyone was suddenly like, wow, you're so attractive, when before they would never have batted an eyelid at me. And I'm like, one day this isn't going to be on trend and I'm going to go back to being ugly. I need to whore around while I can.
Make the most of it. Yeah. Nigel, you said like you felt that being mixed race isolated you sexually. What does that mean exactly? What did you mean by that?
I don't think, because I grew up in a predominantly white area, that being Chinese or being seen as Chinese was sexually attractive to other people. So that limited the options that I had. Which worked in the opposite way in Hong Kong, because whenever I go to Hong Kong, everyone considered I was a white boy. So I never fit in either of those cultures or environments. So I was always the outsider.
Yeah.
Were you seen as attractive in Hong Kong though? Was it almost like white privilege playing out in Hong Kong that because of being mixed race you were?
No, I was just an outsider.
Okay.
Because I didn't speak the language, couldn't understand what they were saying, so got isolated because I just didn't understand.
Yeah, it's the same in Thailand as well. I'm Thai in England and English in Thailand.
Yeah.
Very much so.
The curse.
How does that play out in gay dating culture?
Being Asian in gay dating culture is definitely a disadvantage. You might have heard of no fats, no femmes, no Asians, which is I don't think really an accepted phrase anymore in 2023, but it was like not that long ago. So yeah, I think in the way, Joe, you said earlier about Asian women being fetishized, but Asian men being almost like feminized by virtue of their race, I think that's where that plays out in the gay dating scene, is like you are probably automatically seen as more feminine if you are Asian, so you're kind of playing into both the no femme, no Asian like kind of trope. But it is something I think I don't know if it's like I don't know if it actually plays out in reality, but it's something I'm very aware of, is like I know that like the ideal man in a lot of people's eyes is like kind of a tall, white, attractive man. And I am not tall or white or attractive. So it all works against you. But here's something I'm hyper aware of it, weirdly. I don't really know how it interacts. I just had to keep going. But an example. So on Hinge, there is a thing called standouts, which is like people that get the most likes, and you can like scroll through them and see basically who's like getting the most likes in your area. And obviously I do, because I like to look at attractive men and they're all very, very good looking, but they are all white always. But when you go through like the normal, like scanning through, like we live in London, like 50% of people are white and 50% of people are other races, but the standouts are always, they're always white. And that to me says a lot about what people's tastes are And when you see that and you're like, well, I don't fit that taste, like, you know, I've got to find someone that's got different taste to what's mainstream, which is, feels like it limits your options a little bit, which is why I'm still single.
And his number is 07.
If you like the sound of my voice.
Yeah, people really do read into kind of how you are on a level of, like, on a scale of mass to femme, they'll place you very much based on your race sometimes. Like, even with my ex-boyfriend, people would always describe him as masculine. Or they would, men would come up to him to befriend him, thinking that he was their type of guy. And as soon as they spoke to him, they'd kind of be like, oh, you're kind of not what I expected you to be. And I always thought that if he was a white boy, people would have thought he was quite effeminate. But it was like people just saw him for his race and then kind of would assume that he was masculine. And that then goes into people reflecting that on what they expect from you sexually, like the whole like mask femme thing, or like top, bottom, whatever.
Speaking about sexual preferences, all of my family have white partners. So my sister was married, had a husband who was blonde, so her two children are blonde-eyed. Sorry, blonde-haired, blue-eyed. My brother has a blonde, blue-eyed wife, so one of his kids is blonde, blue-eyed, the other is dark-haired. And Alice is autistic, so she, as far as I know, she hasn't had any sexual interactions that I know of.
Mm.
But yeah, everyone has grown up pretty much being white, so has those preferences.
Mm. That's interesting, because what you're talking about is like your preferences relating to, yeah, what you're used to around you, maybe?
I think also what you're told is the idea of like beauty. We were raised in Britain where the idea of beauty was white people. Like all the models were always white. Like everyone on TV was always white. All Hollywood movie stars are, well, not all of them, but like mostly white. Kind of that is your ideal. And as I said, it's changing. And there were obviously people like Naomi Campbell was like an example of someone that was, you know, kind of broke the mold a little bit. But you are shaped by what you see around you. And I think it's funny, Joe, you said earlier about like being mixed race, being on trend, but it's very much the case. Like sexual attraction, yeah. You can shape people's sexual attraction.
Yeah, you really
can. Which
links
back to what I was saying earlier about like sexual attraction. And I think my level of sexual attraction in Thailand would have been greater than it is here because of being half white.
Yeah,
the
kind of
the privilege that comes with that, mm-hmm. and like the idea that is, because even when you've got full Thai, and it's the same in a lot of Asia. I know it's the same in India. From when I travelled around, like it was very noticeable. But like when you've got full Thai people that are modelling or in programs, etc., are famous, they're always very white still. So even in countries where the dominant race is not white, being white is still idolized. And yeah, as we said earlier, like, I'm seen as white in Thailand, so that would have worked to my favour, I would guess.
Did you know that Naomi Campbell is a quarter Chinese?
Really?
Oh, wow, no, I didn't know
that. That's why she's so beautiful.
Nigel, did you feel, like Joe earlier was talking about how, you felt that there was like a distinct moment where like being mixed race was like became trendy, let's say. And like, did you feel that shift? Obviously, you've kind of like traversed slightly more time than we have.
What an eloquent way to say it.
Being old. No, I think I kind of skipped that boat. I've been with my partner for nearly 15 years now. So settled and happy. But yeah, I think things have moved on later than that. And that kind of trend has come in a little bit later. So
yeah, I would say...
I missed that boat entirely, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I remember it being like around 2016.
So specific.
Well. Just roughly
May
around
of 2016.
2016, 7th of July.
About 3 p.m. I was scrolling through Instagram.
And suddenly I was getting matched left, right and centre. It was a torrent.
Why didn't I experience this shift? I wasn't getting matched in May 2016.
I'm so sorry.
Yours
for
is
you.
Coming.
It's coming. It's coming. You just have to manifest it. I think also the thing about mixed people ending up with white partners often is, well, this can be a thing for some people. I think for a lot of people it isn't. But I think when you're fetishized by white people, that can be something which is attractive to you, like just being desired in that way. Like that can be something which just turns you on. So yeah, even though it's like in it's kind of like how a lot of women are submissive and get turned on by really dominant behavior, but they're also really strong feminists, and it's kind of like it's just like the psychology of attraction. Like, even though you know that maybe that's not that doesn't reflect kind of your beliefs, is still something that turns you on. So being fetishized, I think, can be like the same thing.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think, like, I feel like I'm always like pivoting between femme and mask energy, and some days like that really comes through in my fashion and just my energy in general. And like I remember this conversation I had with a friend about Asian hair, like long women hair, and he was like, oh, you know, like in passing, he was like, oh, you know, women, Asian women's hair gets so fetishized. And I was like, oh, does it? Kind of like half joking, half like, I never really thought about that. Like, I am really passionate about hair, love hair, and I appreciate Asian hair a lot, but never thought about it in that context. And I had just cut off my hair, and I was said to him, was like, oh, does that mean you won't fetishize me anymore? And he was just like, no, I still can. And it was like a really stupid conversation, but like, I just never really thought about that. It was like so specific. And then like sometimes, like you say, some days, like I really love that and yeah. I want to show my hair or like my, yeah. And then some days I'm just like, ugh, like this is not the energy that I want to give off into the world.
Yeah.
Talking about hair makes me think about physical characteristics and kind of linking back to what we find attractive and what our idea of attractive is. One of the reasons I think that Asian men are feminized is because we do tend to be smaller and like slighter and skinnier. And that is not seen as like masculine and therefore not seen as attractive in men. Whereas for women, it works the other way, right? Like Asian women being more petite.
More petite, yeah.
And like, yeah, just like...
Oh, so fucked up, isn't it?
More childlike, basically.
Yeah.
There is that fetishization... I hate that word. There is that fetishization of those traits, and that works in favor for women, but not in favor for men.
Yeah. Just like mainstream beauty standards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I would say the main thing I get about my hair is on dating apps, people will always message me saying, you look like an anime character.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I basically said that earlier.
It's okay. Apologies. It's okay.
I'm allowed to say it. I'm half Asian.
You are. You get a pass. And I used to actually really like it because I was like, yeah, anime characters look sick. Like, yeah, I look like an anime character. Then I was dating this guy and I told him that people said this. And he was like, well, you don't look like an anime character. You have a nose for a start. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't look like an anime character. This is all racially charged. And then I would look at their profiles of people, the people who sent this to me. And like their interests would be like, I love anime, my favorite anime. Why don't we watch anime together? I'd be like, Jesus, like, yeah.
So that's subtext, the main thing I get. Hentai.
You want a fucking anime character so bad? Don't drag me into it.
Was this by any chance the day after the day when the switch of like half mixed people?
And that's when I noticed it.
2016. Yeah.
It lasted 24 hours. Your euphoria and like, oh my God, everyone finds me so attractive. And you're like, oh shit, they just think I'm an anime character.
It was actually after I cut off my hair. So, you know, it could have been that. Like, I think it could have been like...
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So if you've got sexual fantasies about half Asian people...
We know we do.
We know we do. Write in to us and tell us all about it. No, I don't know. But yeah.
Please
don't send pictures.
Don't send pictures. You will be banned and blocked. No, but we love to hear from our listeners. If you've got thoughts to share, please email us or DM us on Instagram. We'll read out our favorite responses on our bonus episode or report you to the police. Depends what you send in. Our email is info@thirdmagazine.co.uk and our Instagram is thirdmagazine. That's third with three I's. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh my gosh, I loved Zach's point about how beauty standards are always changing because I believe they need to, obviously. And it's true. Like, I think when you are just bombarded with one idea or a specific idea around what it means to be attractive or what it means to be beautiful, and you leave out loads of people, then it's more likely that people are also going to want to, you know, mate with people, or not mate. That was such a such a scientific word.
What's that guy called?
I mean,
what's the guy that does the BBC?
Stephen Attenborough. David Attenborough.
David Attenborough. That was a very David Attenborough thing. The mating species.
No one is actually, well, people are mating, I'm sure, but no one's, you know, taking it to fruition.
Wait, what?
On this show, anyway.
On this, what? That's not what we're doing off mic, by the way.
Rewind. Yeah, especially when it comes to people's sort of dating preferences, because you are going to be more attracted to people who, in your society, you are told are attractive. I thought it was also really interesting, the conversation around lightness. Mm. And it was kind of subtly mentioned, but bleaching as well, and how people will manipulate themselves to seem more attracted, and how that's been based on white colonial standards. Mm-hmm. I know definitely in many different sort of countries around the world, in India, say, for example, definitely in Africa, in places like the Caribbean, where there's been a colonial presence, this desire for lightness in comparison to your complexion has been around. So that was also really interesting to hear about how that's affected beauty standards, not only in the UK for half East Asians, but also in the countries that they sort of have their heritage comes from.
I felt like Joe touched upon various points about that as well, and how, for example, with an ex-partner, they could really strike a understanding about the experience of being fetishized as someone who has mixed Asian heritage, as well as someone who, with their partner, who was mixed Black, and how in both ways there was that extremeness of the extreme ends of the extreme ends of the fetishization, a word that came up multiple times in that episode. For a second, I was worried I wasn't going to say it properly. I felt that was quite an interesting fact, that they were able to find that mutual understanding through being on opposite ends of fetishization.
Almost going back to something you just said, the irony around sort of like how we look at beauty in the UK is that most people who are pale usually want to be tanned. So I thought what Jade said around, like, obviously the fact that she's quite pale and she's like on those beauty counters buying herself, you know, darker skin foundation so she appears more tanned, was humorous, but also very, you know, interesting as well. And following on for what you were saying about fetishization. Following on from what you were saying about fetishization, I think what Zach was saying around how gender comes into play there was really interesting, because sometimes we do, and also how you can play against and with fetishization. I think Joe was talking about how actually you might play into that, and that could become part of your almost like sexual dynamics or your attractive, you know.
That was a really good point, by the way.
Because I think sometimes when we generally talk about fetishization, it is in negative lights. But it was interesting just to reflect on the fact that it can be almost repurposed or reclaimed to some extent. Or people can do that.
But then also being that awareness that those who might find you attractive might be exoticizing you. And then at the same time, you not being fully aware that because you've been raised in a particular society, that's what's happening. Like, your attraction to these people who are finding you exotic might be just because of the fact that, you know, you've experienced that dynamic throughout, and you're used to it. So highlighting that was quite interesting. I also felt for Zach's comment about, you know, the experience of being a half Thai gay man, and seeing, let's say, on certain apps and stuff, like basically being excluded from, I guess, the sexual dating market because, like, all, you know, that perception of, like, Asian men not being found attractive. So within a minority within a minority, that experience of, like, I guess, a level of rejection, I felt that. And also the representation of, like, being someone who is a minority within a minority and not necessarily feeling like they, you will ever find necessarily a representation of you in media, who can maybe redeem that perception of a gay, queer, or, you know, half Asian person, if that makes sense.
And it is such a waste because Zach is very hot. Yeah. Guys out there, you're missing out if you're not swiping right. I don't know how to explain what I want to say next, but I think it's almost like that, you know, that kind of like when someone thinks they're giving you a compliment, but actually yes, it's not really a compliment.
Yeah.
So this is almost a weird example to say, but you know, when like people would refer to people who come from Africa, it's like, King something or queen whatever, and yeah, it's like, actually that's a bit nice. Yeah, I'm a queen, but also we're not all kings and queens. Yeah. Like yeah, so I think sometimes people's, let's just call it what it is, ignorance.
Yeah.
And sometimes their optimism for things like anime's so cool, that's my connection to your culture, to what I think is your culture, because actually a lot of anime is actually Japanese, right? And Joe's not Japanese as far as I know. So all of this just gets blindsided. And yeah, then you might even find yourself being like, yeah, I look like an anime character, when you don't, you know?
How you appear is going to impact the way you'll be fetishized, right? Because if you are appearing more, let's say, westernized looking, you might move through and not be picked up for being someone who has mixed heritage. So your experience of a part of your heritage is not going to be kind of impacted in the dynamic of your sexual attraction or people attraction to you. Whilst on the other side of that, if you do look like there is something else there, or they could pin that you are mixed heritage, right? I think, I'm trying to remember who mentioned that. It might have been Joe as well, because Joe was spitting flames. But it was quite an interesting one about how passing you are within particular communities is kind of impact the way you navigate the sexual market.
If you want to see some BTS, head to our TikTok where you can see what went down in the recording of this show.
You can also catch more from us on our website, www.thirdmagazine.co.uk, also with free eyes.
And don't forget to help spread the word. Share the show with a friend, a colleague, your mum, or just rate and review us wherever you're listening.
You've been hearing on this show is from our guest Reese's record label, Emperor Recordings. If you search them on Instagram, their logo has a dog in it. Follow them and go to their parties.